Truth we should all hold dear. It's a thing. Amen. Thank the Lord. I appreciate the Talbot family being here, and I appreciate that special song. Let us take the Word of God this morning, and we will go to Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter 4. So thankful that you're here today. If you're visiting with us, thank you so much. And we are asking God to give us a good day in the house of the Lord. We do celebrate today and really commemorate the ones who have given their life for our country. I do not know that we really contemplate it as much as we should. And today, I want to preach on this subject. Remember your freedom. Remember your freedom. Memorial Day is all about remembering. It's about pausing and stopping to think about where our freedom in America has come from. Kind of reminds me of the story that I heard some time ago about a man who was... He was so excited about buying a new car, and he took his wife, and they were getting ready to go pick it up, and man, he was just so consumed with buying this new car. He got back home, and by the way, on the way home, he kind of thought, I think I've forgotten something I've forgotten. Got back home, his little girl came to him and said, Daddy, is that your new car? Yeah, you like it? And she said, yeah. But Daddy, where's Mommy at, you know? So the man forgot his wife at the car dealership. And, you know, forgetfulness, it cannot only be just humiliating and embarrassing, but may I tell you that forgetfulness will erode the foundation of our country, and forgetfulness can also be spiritual danger. So this morning, as we talk about remembering our freedom, we come to the book of Joshua in chapter number 4, and it is now the time where God has led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And God instructed Joshua to set up a memorial, to set up something so that people would remember what the Lord had done. It is important for us. We have Thanksgiving, and really Thanksgiving is thanksgiving unto God. But for the Christian, Thanksgiving should be every single day. Amen. That we are grateful to God for what He has done for us in giving His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us, and therefore giving us the ultimate freedom, and that is eternal life in heaven. But as we come to this Memorial Day, let us remember our freedom and where our freedom came from. And I would like to parallel this with the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. You see, you may be an American today. Well, you have freedom. That's wonderful. But do you know who gave you that freedom? But you can be an American today and have freedom, but still not know the greatest freedom of all. That is the freedom that Jesus offers you. May God help us today to remember your freedom. Let's go to Joshua chapter number 4. Let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." You see, God instructed His servant to erect these 12 stones. What for? To remember what God had done for the children of Israel, that God had given them deliverance, that God had purchased their freedom. You know, I think it's very important to fly the American flag. You know what? The flag, to me, reminds me of the shed blood of men and women who have given their lives for the freedom of our country. It is important. And in our Christian lives, we should remember what God has done for us, how God has saved us, and what the Lord means to us. But on this Memorial Day, I want you to remember your freedom. In fact, in April of 1863, it took place in Columbus, Mississippi. After decorating the graves of her two sons who died representing the South land in the Civil War, an elderly woman walked from the graves of her two sons to the graves of two boys that had given their life, but they were from the North. And the woman placed flowers not just upon her sons' graves, but she put flowers upon the graves of those. And a woman who was nearby said, "Don't you understand what you are doing? Don't you know that they were from the North and now you are decorating their graves?" And the woman with a compassionate voice said, "I know. I also know that somewhere in the North, a mother or a young wife mourns for them as we do for ours." You know something? That very instance set in motion the celebration of what we call Memorial Day today. Well, we set aside a day. We set aside a government offices are closed and many areas are closed. Why? Because we set aside to remember those who have given their lives for our country. In fact, do you know that from the Revolutionary War until today, at least 2.8 million men and women have given their lives for the freedoms that we hold dear in America. And by the way, I want you to know that those that have given their lives have sacrificed their lives. They have not given their lives in vain. I am thankful for America. I still believe America is the greatest country on the face of the earth. And I get to be a part of America. I grew up in America. I thank God for the freedoms that we can enjoy. We can come to church this morning. We're not fearing that someone's going to shut us down or take us off to prison. But there are places in the world today where people fear for their lives because the sacrifice that was required took the shed blood of men and women. In fact, this is one of the most important days that we can celebrate. It is not just about getting with family. It's not just about grilling out. It's not just about a day off. It is about remembering our great freedom today. In fact, someone once said that the highest tribute to the fallen soldier is not grief, but gratitude. And may God help us today to have gratitude in our heart. In fact, Patrick Henry said it best when he said, "Give me liberty or give me death." In fact, it's that cry of the patriot, and in order for men to live free, then some men have to give their lives defending our freedom. I believe it was also in 1863 that Abraham Lincoln gave his famous Gettysburg Address. And in that address, this is what he said: "That from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we were highly resolved that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth." Brethren, I pray that it never perishes from the earth in America. But we must understand and remember the price of freedom. In fact, you know that over 200 times in the Bible, we find the word remember. We forget often, do we not? We forget the blessing of the Lord. We forget His provision. We forget answered prayer. We forget how God has given us deliverance and how God has given us freedom. But we also forget about our country. We forget about what it took, the lives that were sacrificed, so that we can be a part of a free country called America. By the way, there's only two defining forces that were offered to die for you. It was the American soldier and it was Jesus Christ Himself. And today, let us remember our freedom. Number one, I want you to know the price of freedom is not something that freedom is never free. Freedom came with a great price. There's a price for the freedom that we enjoy in America today. In fact, it was during World War II that a young soldier by the name of Daniel Webster, he was a part of the company of the 101st Airborne. He wrote his mother in a letter, and I want you to listen to what he said because he understood the price of freedom. He said, "Mom, stop worrying about me. I joined the parachutists to fight. I intend to fight. If necessary, I shall die fighting, but don't worry about this because no war can be won without young men dying. Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice." There was a young man by the age of 19 years of age. He understood the price of freedom. He was willing to give his life so that you and I could be free. Let us never forget the price of freedom. In fact, our forces, even today, fight for our liberty. Our liberty was purchased by the blood of American patriots today. By the way, you know the price of freedom? It is shed blood and it is ultimate sacrifice. That is the price of our freedom. In fact, you know something? The need for a military force, I do not believe, will ever go away in our country. We have to protect our freedom. It is given to us by the lives of men and women who have shed their blood for our country. But the need for our military will still no doubt be in place. But it is through our airmen and through our sailors and through our soldiers and through our Marines that we have the freedom that we experience today. I remember World War II when Winston Churchill paid a tribute to the Royal Air Force by saying this, "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed to so many." You know, I believe today that I owe a debt. I owe a debt to the men and women who have given their lives for my country and for the freedom that I enjoy today. I owe a debt to them. But I want you to know something. Beyond that, brethren, we need to understand that the greatest freedom that was purchased for any of us this morning is in the shed blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for me and you. Amen. Brother, that is really what freedom is all about. In fact, let's take our Bibles. We'll go to John chapter number 8, if you would, please. John chapter number 8, as Winston Churchill said, "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed to so many." I would like to say, as we consider our Savior hanging on the cross, we must declare that never in the history of a sinful world has all of humanity owed everything to only one Savior. By the way, there's only one Savior this morning. His name is Jesus Christ. And that is where we must remember our freedom. The price of freedom. The most meaningful military memorial, in my opinion, is one at the North Georgia College. And it states this, "All gave some gave all." The men and women that are represented even here today in our service, they gave great sacrifice, and many of them are still giving great sacrifice to serve in our country and to protect our freedom. But some gave everything. They gave their very lives so that you and I could sit here this morning, so that you and I could go from state to state in our great country without a passport, without a visa, without fear. We are thankful for the freedom that was purchased for us. Let us never forget the price of freedom. But may I say to you, Let us never forget what Jesus Christ has done for us. In fact, years ago, when President Eisenhower was touring the battlefield at Valley Forge and was being shown from one historic spot to another, that he made this statement at the conclusion of the tour. He said, "This is where they got it for us." This is where they got it for us. What was he saying there? He was saying they got our freedom. They purchased our freedom. Well, this morning I want to remind you of a place called Mount Calvary where Jesus Christ, he sacrificed everything for you and me. Brethren, you know something, in our country, in America, we are proud of our freedom, and we should be. We are proud of the American flag, and we should be. We should defend our country, and we should do that. But I wonder in America if we understand that you can live and die in a free country and still die and spend eternity in a place called hell forever. You see, just because you have freedom as an American, you may or may not have freedom as a person. Brethren, this morning I have freedom because of men and women who have died in my place. They have died for me. But today I have freedom to know that Jesus Christ is my Savior, to know that heaven is my home because of what Jesus Christ did for me. He went to the cross for me. He shed His blood for me. But folks, He did it for you as well. We come to John chapter number 8, and I want you to see some words that Jesus spoke here of our great freedom. John chapter number 8, let's begin in verse number 31, if you would please. John 8 and verse 31. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, 'If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered Him, 'We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Yeah. Brethren, I want you to know the truth. You know something, as an American, the truth about our freedom, it was not purchased by politicians. It was not purchased by scientists. It was not purchased by some professor. It was purchased by the blood of men and women. That's the truth about the price of our freedom. But do you know the truth about the price of the freedom from your sin? You see, every one of us today, we are born into this world with a sin nature. I was born in this world. I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, but I was born with a sin nature. And so were you. And can I tell you, because of that, the Bible says that when we sin, we are servants to sin. You know what? There are people today that they think they are living life in their own free will, when really it is in rebellion against God, and they are servants to their own sin. You know, some people today say, "I'm going to live my life my way. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to take into my body what I want to take into my body. I'm going to look at with my eyes what I want to look at. My life is my own." But can I tell you something? They're not free. They are in bondage to sin. They are in bondage to the rebellion. They are in bondage. Brethren, when I came to know Jesus Christ, He gave me real freedom. Amen. Freedom from the price and the penalty of my sin. You see, we are born as sinners. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, that it says, "And there is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We need to know the truth today that we are sinners. But can I tell you another truth? The truth is that God loves you. God loves you this morning. I'm so grateful to know that God cares and loves for each and every one of us today. He loves us. In fact, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves you today. In fact, the Bible says that God loves us with an everlasting love. That means that His love never changes. There's nothing you could ever do to diminish God's love for you, and there's nothing you could ever do to make God love you more, because God loves you with a perfect love. We do not love with a perfect love. Have you ever loved something and then you don't love it anymore? Have you ever maybe grew in your love? We talk about people that are celebrating anniversaries, wedding. I grant you that every one of them would say, we are growing in our love for one another. No doubt about it. I pray that you are growing in your love for Christ. But God's love for you and me never changes. He loves you today. That is the truth. But can I tell you another truth? The truth is that sin must be paid for. Now here's the terrible news. The terrible news is that we are sinners. And because we are sinners, the Bible says that we are under the wrath and the condemnation of God. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Can I tell you, the only way that any of us could ever pay for our sin is to die and spend eternity in a place called hell forever. That's the only way that you and I could ever pay for our sin. That is the bad news. But you must know the bad news before you can understand the good news. And the good news is that Jesus Christ has paid for all of your sin. Brother, I am so grateful for Jesus Christ. The Bible says that He came to this earth. He walked up on this earth as a sinless man. He was the God-man. And Jesus came for one purpose, and that was to bleed and die for the sins of all mankind. Oh, listen, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for you. Just as the American patriot died for our freedom, Jesus died so that we could have freedom from our sin debt. You know, my grandfather, I'm so grateful that he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. But my grandfather was a man in bondage before he came to know Christ. He was a man most miserable in so many ways. Because he was lost, he did not know the freedom that we can experience in Jesus Christ. Brethren, I want you to know, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not know real freedom. Because the Bible says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." You see, I am free to do anything that God wants me to do. I am free. I know that I'm a part of God's family because Jesus Christ died just for me. In fact, the great truth is, folks, this morning, if you're without Jesus Christ, you can turn to Him in faith, and He has promised to save you. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We see the price of freedom, but number two, we see the people of freedom. Are you one of those? You say, "Well, yes, Pastor, I am an American and I am a person of freedom." But oh, may God help us to know that we cannot know freedom in Christ without putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder today, by the way, you know, as we think about soldiers and we think about so often there were chaplains that prayed with the soldiers. Many young men came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior because they knew that death was very obvious for them and it was very near for them. This morning, we ought to think about death. We ought to think this morning that death is coming to each and every one of us. In fact, Hebrews 9:27 says, "As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." Listen, before you came to church this morning, there were people all across our world that took their last breath and died. There are people before the end of this service that will have died. Are you ready? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm so thankful for my parents. They took me to church. I heard the gospel. I heard the good news. And I'll never forget that morning when I understood that God loved me. that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And when I came to understand that it was not through baptism, it was not through doing good works and good deeds, it was not through trying to be a good moral person and hoping that one day my good outweighs my bad, it was understanding that Jesus Christ went to the cross. He paid the ultimate sacrifice as God took the sin debt of the world and God placed it upon Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He purchased my freedom. And I remember that morning leaving my seat and getting on my face. And I acknowledged that Jesus Christ was the only way. In fact, He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that morning, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Folks, I'm not perfect today, but I know that I am free in Jesus Christ. I know that I'm a part of God's family. This morning, we love our freedom in America, and we should. But let us remember the price of that freedom, that men and women gave their lives to purchase our freedom. But let us not forget the price of real freedom in Jesus Christ. And that was purchased by His shed blood. He died on the cross. He was buried in the borrowed tomb. And on the third day, He arose alive forevermore. Amen. Brethren, are you a people of freedom? You say, well, Pastor, I'm an American. Wonderful. Then we should vote right and pray for America. We need revival in America. But let me ask you this. Are you a person that you know freedom in Jesus Christ? The Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Listen, the only truth is knowing that Jesus died for you, and you can turn to Him today. Oh, let us never forget our freedom. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one is looking around, and this is a very serious time in our service. But maybe you're here this morning and you do not know where you would go if you died today. I don't think it's an accident that you're here. I believe you're here on purpose. God knows you by name. God knows every detail of your life. Today, if you're without Jesus Christ, you do not know freedom. You may be an American, and you have the freedom of our country, but you don't know real freedom. Today, would you turn to Him? I know that many of us know Christ. That's wonderful. But what about you? This is you and God. If you died today, would you spend eternity with Jesus Christ? You say, well, I'm a good person. Well, that's not good enough. The only way is by turning to Jesus Christ. In fact, He said, to him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you'll turn to Him in simple childlike faith, Jesus has promised to save you. Maybe you're here this morning and God has convicted your heart about your need to be saved. You know that you need Jesus Christ. Well, He will not reject you. Would you turn to Him now? You say, well, Pastor, how do I turn unto Him? Well, the Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, would you call upon Him? I'd like to help you. Maybe you say, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Well, someone helped me pray years ago. And by the way, it's not the prayer. It is our faith and our dependence upon Jesus. But right now, would you like to turn to Him in faith? Let me help you pray. I'd like to lead you in a prayer this morning. And if you have never prayed to ask Jesus to be your Savior, this morning it's your choice. You see, God's given you a free will. You can choose to accept Him or to reject Him. But He's willing to receive you. Maybe you'd like to pray right now. Let me help you pray. You can simply repeat this prayer in your heart silently to God. And God will hear you. And He will forgive you and He will save you. The prayer goes something like this. Do you like to turn to the Lord now? Would you pray this in your heart silently to the Lord? Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I trust Jesus as my Savior. Help me live for You. from this day forward. In Jesus' name, would you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just another moment? Would there be anybody here this morning? I'll not embarrass you or come to you or call you out. But if you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I prayed that prayer today for the first time, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior." If that's you, no one's looking. I'll not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. If you say, "That's me, preacher," would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Pray for me, Pastor. Just remember me in your prayer today. Let's stand together, would you please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'd like to have a word of prayer. And then after that, Brother Stevenson is going to come and lead us in a hymn. God has spoken to your heart. Maybe you'd like to leave your place and come. Let the Lord have His way this morning. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. I pray that You will guide us in this service. And Father, I pray for anyone that does not know Christ that today they would put their faith and trust in You. Lord, may we never forget our freedom and the price of our freedom, but the people of freedom. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. Let's go to hymn number 496. I surrender all. God's spoken to your heart. Did you find a place to pray? The Lord has dealt with you. Let the Lord have His way. Hymn number 496. Brother Stevenson is going to lead us.
We're very thankful for this special day, and in just a moment, we will have John Warman and his granddaughter, Cheyenne Warman. They're going to both be getting baptized. And let me just simply explain this. They both know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They're not getting baptized in order to go to heaven, but baptism is the first step of obedience for the child of God. Now, people believe different types of baptism. We believe, according to the Bible, that baptism by immersion is the proper mode of baptism, because baptism is a picture. It's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Jesus was even baptized. He came up out of the water. So as they are getting baptized today, God brought the Warman family here to us. I'm very thankful for them. Both of them know the Lord. They have a sweet spirit. And they want to be members of this church. They both know the Lord, but they've never been baptized by immersion. So today is a very special day. So here's how we're going to do it. Cheyenne's going to get baptized first. And then after that, Brother Warman's going to come down. And he has a personal bodyguard helping him today, all right? And I asked Tyler Tapman, one of our military men, who was just recently married, him and Rebecca. But Tyler is going to be helping him, and we just want to keep him as safe as possible, all right? So we'll have Cheyenne first. This is Cheyenne Warman. Cheyenne, upon your profession of faith in Christ, and in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Very good. We just wanted to get extra help here for Brother Warman here. All right. I'm very proud of both of them getting baptized. You know, it takes a lot to take this step, and I appreciate his courage and his faith in the Lord. This is John Warman. John, upon your profession of faith in Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk.
Number 414, Trust and Obey. We'll sing the first and last of this. Page number 414, Trust and Obey.
Trust.
pray. Lord, we thank you for what you've done this morning. We thank you for this family coming and getting baptized. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our hearts even this morning. I pray that we would never forget what you have done on the cross of Calvary. And again, that we may never forget what our soldiers have done for us. I pray that you'd be with us on the road. Keep us safe. Bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.